Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Shank, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association. PCA provides painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pcapainted.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, Dave Rosenberg of Locked On Leadership talks with us about what makes a leader effective. There are three qualities: integrity, courage, and character, and they have to be earned and practiced. Dave draws from his years of experience as a naval officer and president of several companies to explain why the so-called soft skills are actually the refined material of the most seasoned leaders. Hey, Dave, welcome to Paint Ed.
Hey, Chris, great to be here. I'm really excited about this.
Me too. I know that you have an interesting background that informs your leadership topics. When you talk to associations and you talk to businesses about leadership development, you have some heavy stuff that kind of is contributing to your knowledge here. So can you give us an idea of what has basically brought you to this place and to the subject?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for asking. I feel like I've been really blessed. Out of college, my degree is mechanical engineering. So I've always had an engineering sort of mindset, which is very systematic. But right out of college, I actually wanted to be an astronaut. And that's a true statement, mm-hmm. Not as a little kid, but that was my goal. Mm-hmm. And I was told the best pathway to that was to go into naval aviation. So I ended up becoming a naval flight officer, or technically a radar intercept officer. So for those who remember Top Gun, I was Goose, but I lived. And so I got to do that for a number of years. And so I had that experience as a naval officer, and I come out of the military. And this is, 25 years ago or more. And I got my first job as a sales manager. And what struck me as really interesting or different was there was no manual. So I'm working for this company. I'm supposed to create this sales program, but it doesn't really exist. So you go to what you know. And for me, it was two things. One, having a manual for everything. And two, as an engineer, being systematic about how I approach it. Mm. And so I actually wrote a training manual and had some success as a sales manager. And that led to becoming, moving up in an organization. I ended up as VP of operations in another company. Same story all over again. No manual. Everything was seat or to pants. That didn't feel comfortable to me, both as an engineer and as a former military man. So I created another manual, start doing some training, and I start having more successes. And so this ramps up. And I ended up running about a half dozen different companies over the last 25 years, several of them in senior positions, say a president, et cetera, and with success. And so what I ended up doing was taking the experience I had in the military and the mindset I had as an engineer and applying it to the more soft skill discipline of leadership, just because that's what I know. Yeah. We all fall back to what we know, and a modicum of success, or more than a modicum, honestly. And so here I am today trying to help other people gain the same success because, frankly, it was really heady. Let me share this story you, because I think this is where my passion comes from. The last company I ran was a moving company. When I took over there, I actually was hired as vice president. Our estimator for the company, one of the estimators, has ninth grade education. He had been on the trucks as a mover, but this is before I got there, had done well, moved up through the ranks to what they call lead mover. So he was running crews and had been promoted to estimating to help the operations manager out by the time I got hired. And I looked at him, and he had no sales background whatsoever, no sales skills. He's just doing the best he can. He's a smart guy, uneducated, but really smart. And I start working with him, and he was one of those really great people that when you ask them to do something, they just did it. They didn't question it. They didn't doubt it. They just did it. They trusted. They did it. They implemented it. And he started having more and more success in sales. So now I wanted to change his compensation to to a commission-based compensation. He was hourly with overtime plus a small bonus for every deal he booked. And I thought he needs to participate in his own success in a bigger way. And the company shouldn't be paying him overtime. It's a sales role. There's a lot of reasons for it. Mm. Long story, a little bit shorter. He fought me on that for about a year. Meanwhile, I'm putting in changes into the company. He's starting to see that he's starting to learn to trust me. And at the end of the year, I said to him, listen, we really need to revisit this. It's not good for you to continue the way you are. And he's making a comfortable mid five-digit income at this point, which, again, for him, he was really happy with. I said, here's what you would have done last year had you made the change when I first suggested it. And it was a significant increase to a six-digit. That's what he left on the table, was over $40,000.
Wow.
He made the change. Mm-hmm. Now today, his son is in private school. He actually owns his own moving company. And the year after, the company we worked for at the time got sold, and I left, which typically happens with senior management. And right after I left, which was April, the following June at Father's Day, I get a text from him. It says, Happy Father's Day. Now, your audience doesn't know this, but I'm a dink. I'm dual income, no kids. My wife and I, you know, we're, you know, we didn't go that route. So I just send him a text back. I'm like, man, you know, I don't have any kids. His reply floored me. He sends back and brings a tear to my eye when I tell this story. He sends back, yeah, but you've been like a father to me. Mm-hmm. And that really hit me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized the power of good leadership.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the company doing well. That happens. It's about the people. It's about people helping them. Think about how much time you spend at work. And if you're not engaged, if you're not happy, if you're not motivated, and not just motivated, inspired to do what you do, if you're not doing what really thrills you, you shouldn't be there. And good leadership will set up the environment so that you have that opportunity to have that experience.
It sounds like you understand and apply effective leadership in your own life, in your work, and you're helping other people to understand that too. So let me ask you a question. Why is it so difficult for managers to provide effective leadership sometimes? I mean, does it come natural? What's going on here?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. A lot of people think there are born leaders. And I think like any other skill, there are people who have a propensity towards it more than others. You know, in athletic, there are people who are more coordinated. So right, with leadership, there are certain things you need to have. You have to care about people. And so some people naturally care about other people. And so there are people who certainly have more of a propensity towards it, but it's still a skill. And the problem I found in civilian life is that very few people are actually trained in leadership, well, number one. So like any skill, you have to train to it. And they're not exposed to it, so they can't even get it by osmosis through observational learning. Mm. Where military, every officer goes through leadership training, and senior enlisted as well. And it's not just one and done, right? There's you keep going through it, war college, et cetera, but you're also exposed to a wide variety of leaders in a short period of time. So typically across all branches, the commanding officers change roughly every 18 months. And so if you're with a command for 3 years, you're going to see at least two bosses, two COs, and there's also, you know, department heads, et cetera. So you're exposed to more leadership, but you're also changing. So, you know, in a typical 6-year enlistment, you might see, you know, 6, 7, 8 different styles of leadership. Everyone who's been trained, some are good, some are great. Frankly, they're still not so good leaders. You know, I remember my sister squadron, their XO, who I knew personally from before there. I was shocked when he took over there because he was a screamer. I was like, wow, glad I don't work for him. Mm. So not everybody's great, but for the most part, you're exposed to some really good role models. So you get the theory and then you get the practice and you get some really good mentorship. You don't get that in civilian life.
So where do you get it if you're a civilian?
Well, if you're lucky, you work for somebody, you get to emulate. My wife tells a story today about her first manager at a fast food joint when she was in high school. She still thinks is the best person she's ever worked for, and you know, she's retired. So it's really just luck. Now, bigger corporations, some of them have good programs. You know, one of my favorites out there, if you don't mind me giving a plug, but Zappos, you know, they're an absolutely outstanding organization. In my new book, I talk about them a lot. You know, they actually have Zappos University, Zappos U, where their team members can go through and get training in different things. So there are great organizations that embrace that, but it's luck. And because you don't get new bosses all that frequently, people tend to stay in the same job for a long time. If you don't get a good one, there's not a big opportunity to see somebody new unless you change jobs.
Well, then I guess we're pretty lucky to have you on. So you can tell us the secrets to good leadership. So what is, give me a secret to good leadership. What is there a secret?
Well, I would say if there's one thing, and there's more to it than that, but at the very, very core, I talk about the three essential qualities of leadership, but they're really, two of the three qualities are in support of the main thing. And number one thing, and that's integrity. Colin Powell, General Powell, who is the retired chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, said, "The most important thing I learned is that soldiers watch what their leaders do. You can give them classes and lecture them forever, but it is your personal example they will follow." Right? So if you are not true to yourself, and that was an expression I struggled with growing up. You would hear people say, "What the heck does that? How can you not be true to yourself?" Well, you know, here I am almost six decades later, and I can finally tell you what that means. It means having integrity. It means the things you say you are about are truly the things you are about. So I worked for a guy once, one of the companies I ran, the owner used to talk about customer service that was important to him. And it was only important to him until it came across something that was providing good customer service would have cost him money. And then it wasn't as important. So he had no integrity because, right, integrity comes from the Latin word integrigatum, I believe it's pronounced. I never took Latin, so forgive my butchering of that, but it means, you know, acting as a whole. So a vessel has integrity when it's unbroken. So if we state we have values, but in fact those are not our real values, we don't have integrity. Our vessel is broken.
Would you say that consistency is a part of that? And then I'll ask you the second part, is honesty a part of that?
Sure, of course it is, right? So consistency is integrity, right? That's why the subheading title of my book is The Tactical Business Guide to Creating a Culture of Consistency, Courage, and Caring. So integrity is number one, right? So you have to have integrity, and honesty is, right? If you're dishonest, that's an aspect of integrity. You're saying one thing that really mean another, or you're saying one thing that's not true. And if I don't believe you, then I don't believe you. So when you come up to me and say, "Hey, can you work this holiday? I'm going to make it up to you in the future," and you don't have integrity, what goes through my mind as a team member? I'm going like, "You're not going to make this up to me. I'm going to get shafted on this."
Right.
And so now I'm going to be in protect myself mode instead of helping the company mode.
Right. Yeah. Right? That's devastating. So when people are trying to protect themselves, everybody's been there, you know, and nothing gets done as a team. You have to have a common goal, and everybody has to be giving towards that common goal and exposing what they're doing. So to say, "Hey, total transparency, here's what I'm working on, here's who I am, here's what I can do, what I can't do," let me give that as a piece of the puzzle of a bigger picture of reality. So let's form this picture together. But when somebody else is trading out their pieces or not giving an accurate picture of what they're actually doing or accomplishing or what they want to do, because intentions are a big part of that. I think intentions are a big part of the work that you do, because you could have a certain competence, but if you aren't like well-intentioned with your genius, that genius can take everything down the wrong road a lot faster. You know, it's like, do I want what everybody wants? Do you think that's a big part of honesty too, to say I'm honest about my intention to move in the same direction with you or what I want and what I'm trying to accomplish together with you?
Absolutely. You know, I talk a lot that you need to have a higher purpose. You need to have, something. No business exists just to make money, or at least not for long.
Right.
Businesses exist because we provide a value to our constituency, our customers, however you want to refer to the people who buy your services, that is greater than what you charge them. And you know, this goes into whole, well, what's the nature of money? And we probably don't want to spend a long time there, but what I tell people all the time, money is an IOU for value received, right? So in the old days, you and I would trade, right? We'd barter. You were a good hunter. I was a good builder. You needed a house. I needed meat. You went hunting and I built you a house, right? Someday you don't need a house though. You have one. You don't need anything built, but I still need meat. But your neighbor who's a blacksmith, they need a new shed, you know, and so you need some new heads for your spears or arrows. So the blacksmith makes you some hunting implements in exchange for me building them a shed in exchange for you giving me the meat, right? Well, that starts getting really unwieldy as civilizations get bigger. So we create money as a IOU for those services, right? So if I'm not giving greater value, then you're not going to use my services. Mm-hmm. So you need to have a higher purpose and you need to be upfront with that and then find people, attract people who are excited about serving that purpose.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not enough to hire somebody, hire a painter because they need a job. Because how motivated are they going to do a good job?
Right.
But if, as a painting company, my purpose is to protect the investments of others, right? Because we all know paint does that, right? It makes things last longer, protects it from the elements. There's a lot of, it's not just about looking good.
Yeah.
And then I hire people who understand and are excited about helping other people protect their investments. They're going to do a better job painting, aren't they?
Yeah, it's hard to get past the mindset, though, of, hiring the 9-to-5ers. And, well, they do the job, and they're consistent, and they clock in, they clock out, and then, you want consistency like that, but you also want people to accomplish great things and to come in to accomplish great things, not to just get a 9-to-5 job.
So, but let me ask you this, Chris, the person who understands and is ignited by your higher purpose, right? And that was like a higher purpose for painting, but there could be many. The higher purpose could be the beautification because people work better in a clean, pretty environment. It makes you feel good, which means you're going to be more effective. So if I can provide that as a painter, right, then I'm providing real value. If I hire that person who's ignited by that passion, whatever it might be, do you think during that 9-to-5, they're going to be effective at what they do? Right. So you still get that 9-to-5 mentality, but you get that extra.
Right.
And it's the extra that enables you to grow your business because they're going to solve problems for you that you may not even be aware of. They're going to come to you and say, hey, I ran into this problem and here's how I solved it because I know it's the right thing to do. The 9-to-5er is going to go, hey, boss, I ran into a problem. What do you want me to do about it? And now you're distracted from something else to solve a tactical problem.
Right. Well, let me ask you. So the number one secret you'd say would be integrity. And what were the other two that served integrity, you said?
So it's integrity, courage, and character. Right. And so here's how it works. We all know what integrity is, right? We like to have it, but the universe will test you in everything. And the test for integrity, in my experience, always comes in the exact same form. Your stated values and purpose are going to be challenged because if you uphold them, it's going to appear that you are going to lose something. And I'll give you a real quick example. When I had a telecommunications company, I had a money-back guarantee, unconditional in 30 days. If you're not satisfied, I was going to pull out the system I sold you and put it back the way it was because I didn't want unhappy customers. I'd rather have no customer. And I sold the system to a company where the two principals, the husband worked from home, he was a salesperson, and we had these two interconnected systems. This is the early days of voice over IP, so that acted as one. And he was one of these people who didn't like change, and he couldn't get used to the new system. And after about 3 weeks, you know, of trying to please him, I realized this was not going to happen. Now, I could have said to him, you know, I could have kept my mouth shut. And after 30 days, they'd have been stuck with that system. And this was, you know, this was a fairly sizable deal. But I knew I was going to be stuck with misery from him for the rest of our relationship. So I suggested to them, we just put back the old system. And he was ecstatic with that. So the test is, wow, I'm going to lose thousands of dollars. I did. I lost thousands of dollars doing that. Right. And so that's what the test looks like. You're going to lose personally. The way you overcome that test is with courage, the courage to stand by your convictions. Right. Because courage is acting in the face of fear, not being fearless. It's acting in the face of fear, having fear and still acting in the right way. So you need to have courage. And so, you know, in fact, it was Maya Angelou said, courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently. So how do we have courage? Where does courage come from? Right? Because it's easy to say, I want to be courageous, but, you know, fear is a powerful motivator. Right? And so courage comes from caring, right? So if you read stories of any Medal of Honor recipient, any Silver Star, Bronze Star, any valor-based award recipient, these are people who have, in an environment where death was almost certain, still acted. Everyone, obviously surviving, who's been interviewed will tell you the same thing. They're very humbled. They don't believe they deserved it, because all they did was act as how they perceived any of their teammates would do, because they were trying to save their teammates. It was outward focused, in other words. So when you care about your team, the courage will come.
And then the character part. Tell me about that character part. Is it just as simple as, oh, they need character and they need to be good people? Is there something more to that?
Yeah, so character is really interesting to me. And I've come up with my own sort of definition of character. Character is... So I got to back up for a second. We have values. So what are values? Values are actually our beliefs that are ordered in precedence of strength. So, you know, you have a series of beliefs. So, for example, you may believe in family. Family is number one. Family is the most important belief I have, that family is important. That's the belief. So that's your value. I value family above all else. So family, so values are nothing, is the order of our beliefs, the value, right? And then we have actions. And so our character is our actions as it relates to our values. When we act according to our values, then we have good character, right? So it's really another name for integrity. When we act in contrast to our stated values, we never act against our values. We act against our stated values. Right? We're always consistent to our values. And that's why you could look at somebody and go, yeah, I know they say one thing, but I'm looking at their actions. That's not who they are. And we don't trust those people. Those are people of bad character.
Yeah. You know, I imagine that integrity being that consistency between all parts, and character being each of those parts becoming more complex or complexified, as somebody once called it, that, you know, you're young and you have certain values, but those values get seasoned, and hopefully seasoned in the right way, in a positive way. And, you know, as you grow this value and this trait, that you get stronger and better. And then you want to grow these other traits too, to continue to grow all parts of self. And then you want a consistency between those parts so that there's no distortion and disorder between them. So I imagine character is about kind of an intentional growth and development of values, and not just an assumption that the same values you had when you were 12 years old have just stayed there And now you're just more honest about it. You know, this whole thing, be you, is great. Be yourself. I love it. Except there's some people I'm like, be less yourself. be a little less of that, because they haven't grown. And maybe they've grown up, but with bad values or with undeveloped values. And so I imagine that character part is about complex values, and integrity maybe is about consistently acting on those values. Maybe. Do you think that's a fair assessment there?
I think it's ringing true to me, right? Because I just think about my journey. As a young man, I didn't understand. These were words, not concepts that meant anything to me. And I'll confess, you know, right here on national podcast.
Yes,
right,
do it.
I stole it in my younger years, you know. I've done bad things. I won't list them all, but I've done some bad things, okay? Things that I'm really, really not proud of.
Okay, top three really things, bad things you did. No, I'm just kidding.
and I'm sorry that I did those, but I did them because I didn't have values. So, yeah, I think you're right, you know. Or there were things that resonated. I loved comic books. I loved superheroes growing up. I love the tug of war between, you know, Peter Parker as a person who is overlooked and you know, not doing things, and then Spider-Man, and you know, Spider-Man feeling, you know, God, you know, why can't I show this as Peter Parker, you know? But you know, and so this huge the huge tug of war. I love that they always though fell to the side of right, because they knew they had to protect people. But I didn't know how to implement that in my life. And you know, the world I grew up in, you know, Philadelphia, you know, it what you got away with was what was good and right. And that, you know, as I got older and I matured, my last skipper, he was a great man. He was humble. He was quiet. He set the example, but he had a saying that just started. It was when I started listening to this saying that my life turned around. And he used to say, do right things and things will happen right. And that to me was the beginning of the real journey to who I've become today. So I think you're right. Character is that ability to look at yourself maybe and challenge yourself and improve yourself and be honest with yourself.
Yeah, I think so. And grow new values or grow your values. And yeah, the whole thing is whatever's right is what you get away with. Or that was good. You know, that lesson that you learned kind of intuitively as a kid on the streets, like that is kind of street smart, isn't it? And yet a lot of people, that's why I speak of the character thing, because I think that guides people, a lot of people through the rest of their life. And that's why we see, you know, corruption in organizations and companies. And that's why we see bad leadership. And, you know, you look around, you're like, oh, well, they're in leadership. They must be doing it right. Nope, not necessarily. They just might be able to do something that others haven't shown themselves to be able to do. But that doesn't mean they're doing it right. And you don't know how people have fallen into leadership. I see a lot of strange stories. Life is strange. And once you think that there's a reasonable cause for somebody to be in leadership because they're obviously qualified or because they're doing things right, that is not always so. And I think that's an assumption that we need to grow out of too. So anyway, I love this discussion about leadership. I really want to have you on because I know that I would like to get into some of the differences between leadership strategy and business strategy. I know you speak on that. You know, this higher purpose idea that you talk about, I want to get into more. But for now, how can people get a hold of you if they want to find out more? I know you do some public speaking and you do training seminars and courses.
Sure. And let me just come back to one thing, because I think this is the point here. When I was young, I was inward focused, right? So it was about me. And that's why what you get away with is what is right. And this comes back to the three essential qualities, caring being the third. It's not just to give you courage, but when you care about others, when you are outward focused, that's when your character really develops.
That's awesome. That is really awesome.
So back to your question. I just thought it was important to end with that.
Agreed.
You know, so my website is www.lockedonleadership.com, LOCKEDON leadership.com. You certainly can find me on Facebook or which I have a Locked On Leadership page. You can find me on Twitter. Locked On Leaders is my handle. And LinkedIn as well. Look up either Locked On Leaders or look up Dave Rosenberg. Let's connect that way. Follow me. And I put out a newsletter once a month, roughly. You're not going to get your inbox inundated with a bunch of stuff. We try and put out really good content, and I put it out once a month. I have a vlog, find it on YouTube, Locked On Leaders there as well. I think that's it.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, for being on Paint Ed, and we hope to hear more from you in the future.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, Chris. I appreciate it.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org. We'll see you next time. You know, this whole thing, be you, is great. Be yourself. I love it. Except there's some people I'm like, be less yourself.